Well, this morning I want us to spend one more week on the resurrection. It's obviously the most important event in human history. And we talk about what happened on the road to Emmaus quite a bit. But sometimes, y'all ever heard the expression, we miss the forest for the trees? Well, this time I want to focus more on the forest. There's something that we see in Jesus and these disciples that I want us to understand, because it does impact how we live going forward. We look at it and we get deep into the theology. We get deep into the facts of what Jesus told these disciples about him, how he used the Old Testament to describe himself. And all that is wonderful and all that is absolutely necessary and it's great. But let's take a step back. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to read this story and see how Jesus, the resurrected Lord, interacted with these people. The simple human interaction that he had with them is going to tell us a lot about who he is and how he interacts with us today. And I don't want us to miss this before we move on. I want us to understand how accessible he is. I want us to understand how much he cares. I don't want us to think of Jesus as just sitting up there at the right hand of God waiting. He's waiting for his return. We know that. We know he's coming back. We know when he comes back, he's going to reign and rule. We know a lot about what happens when he returns. But I want us to focus this morning on how we can relate to him today, how he relates to us today. So stand if you would. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to read verses 13 through 32. So just to set the stage, this is Resurrection Sunday. These disciples are on the road, and then we pick up the story in verse 13. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk here and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat down at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" You may be seated. So we know this story. We've spent a long time going through what Jesus meant. But again, I want us to take a step back. I want you to think about the mindset of these disciples. What do you think their mindset was? Doubting? Questioning? Fearful? concerned, depressed? I mean, look, these disciples, they all had this idea of who Jesus was going to be because of what he told them. They didn't quite yet understand all he had taught them about the kingdom. They didn't quite yet all understand everything he had taught them about servanthood. They were going to get it. They would get it and they would keep it for the rest of their lives. But this is still in his teaching process. So let's look at the first thing. And this is just very practical. Verse 15. It says, verse 14, as they walked together, they talked about the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So the very first thing is that Jesus is the Christ who walked with them. Right? Don't miss that. This is the resurrected Lord, right? This is God Almighty who has been resurrected and he is still walking with men. This is a lesson for us. He still walks with us. In fact, we have a little bit, you think, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, they had it so neat because they saw the risen Lord. He was resurrected. He hadn't ascended yet. Well, you know what we have that those two guys did not have at this that moment in time? We have the Holy Spirit inside us. So not only does Jesus walk beside us, Jesus walks within us. So you want to take comfort from the fact that Jesus is walking beside these two disciples? You should take comfort in that. But you should take much more comfort in the fact that as a believer now, he lives inside you. And we don't need to miss that. How often does he live inside you? All the time. Where does he walk with you? Does he just stop and disappear when you get to your overnight stay? No, he doesn't. He is always with you. His promise was, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? So God is always with us. And I hope and I pray that you all see that as a real thing, because it is a real thing. You can't reach out like these two guys did and touch him. You can't reach out like the disciples did in the upper room after he was resurrected and touch him, or at least Thomas. But you can really experience him. If you guys are children of God, like we talked about last week, you have already experienced him. But you can experience him every day. How? Go out, look up. See the sky. Get up at night, look at the stars. He made all those. Do you know that? The t-shirts that we're getting this year, I am created in Christ. We need to understand, God made us. He created us. He created the opportunities that we have. He created the good works that Ephesians 2:10 tells us we're going to walk in. He created everything. And yet, he cares enough to be with us 100% of the time. And Jesus said this about when we get the Holy Spirit. He said, look, it's good that I go away. So he's telling these disciples that, you know, he's resurrected. They're all excited again. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But they're all excited again. And he says, no, no, no. It's good that I go away because I will send the Spirit of truth who proceeds from my Father. And he will testify of me. So we get the Holy Spirit testifying about who Jesus is, testifying about who God is, to build us up and to enable us to walk. Y'all see that? Jesus walks with us every single day. And we need to remember that practically. He walks with us, in us, every single day. So let's look at the second thing. That leads us to number two. Jesus also cares for the problems of men. And let's look back at our story here. You know, Jesus walks up to them and he said, well, wait a minute. What kind of conversation is this in verse 17 that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? So you think Jesus picked up on the fact that they were sad? Sure he did. Sure he did. He says, why are you sad? Did Jesus know why they were sad? Yes, he did. But he wanted them to tell him, just like he wants us to tell him why we're sad, why we're depressed, why we're lonely. That's why he's walking with us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. The word actually, paraclete, means one who has his arm around you. So think about that. The Holy Spirit has his arm around you. He's also called the Comforter. But Jesus cares about the problems that we have. And you know, these guys thought Jesus was dead. We wouldn't say that today, would we? Hope not. But let's think about how we act sometimes. Do we sometimes act like our problems are too big for him? Do we sometimes not pray because he wouldn't be really interested in that part? It's too trivial. There is nothing too trivial for God. He wants to be involved in every single aspect of our life. Do we mope around sometimes like he's lost control? When you turn on the news, when you queue up your Facebook links, whatever you look at, whatever internet site, do you think, how in the world can he still be in charge? So we would never openly say he's dead, but a lot of times we act like it. You know, it took a movie, God's Not Dead, to get everybody again excited about God being alive. It should not have taken a movie to get people excited about God being alive. He's been alive since the day he came out of that tomb. And that same God who resurrected, was interested enough. You know, he could have just showed up to these two guys and goes, hey, I'm here. I told you I was going to be here. I'm here. But that's not what he did. He let them express themselves. He let them take their sadness to him, and then what did he do? He dealt with their sadness through truth. Do we fret and worry today? Anybody not do that? You know, we all do that. And the question is why? If he's in control, as he says he is, and as he is, he's going to work all things together for our good. All things, even those things that we don't like, are going to work together for our good. Why do we fret? Why do we worry? Why are we anxious? Why do we think sometimes that he's not listening? Because we don't think of him as being alive. Think of him as walking beside you and asking you, hey, what's up today? You seem kind of depressed. Can you imagine God doing that? Is that your image of God? I hope it is, because that is what the Bible tells us God is. He's not sitting up there in heaven, so far away, disinterested. You know, a lot of people think it's called the deist philosophy, that he created the world and just left. No, he maintains the world. The Bible tells us in Colossians that he sustains the world. He keeps us. He literally keeps us rotating at the right axis. He keeps us at the right angle. He keeps the whole universe in his hand, and he still cares about each and every one of us. He still cares about our problems. So these disciples, you think what they were doing, they expressed their sadness to him, and he dealt with it. How do you think they felt when he left? We know what they said. You think they had a story to tell after that? Oh, yes. Yes. But we need not to miss the fact that he's still walking with us and he's still caring for us, even though he is in heaven. Now, how's he going to do this? How's he going to do it today? Well, the Bible tells us that God in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. His Son's words are recorded in the Bible. So how is he going to deal with the problems that we have? He's going to deal with it through his Word. He is going to deal with it through the biblical principles that he's laid down. He's going to talk about it, and he's going to show you through his Word what the truth is. Remember, he's already told us that he's in heaven. He's doing something. He's not just sitting there. He's actively making intercession for each and every one of his children. Intercession means he's intervening. He's talking to God. He's saying, hey, Parks is having a bad day. Let's send someone to strengthen Parks. Let's send someone to strengthen Margaret. What do they need? What does my child need today? He cares about the problems. When someone says a kind word to you, will you open that mail and there's a card in there? When you open the email and there's a nice email in there instead of the rude emails in there? It's not coincidence, folks. It's Jesus walking beside you. It's Him understanding what you need at that moment in time. And every single one of us is different. That leads us to the third thing. He is still the Christ who sets men's hearts on fire. Now, we know that He used the Scripture to set men's hearts on fire. These guys, when they finish and Jesus disappears, they say in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? So I want to go back again and remind you about these guys. You know, they're depressed. They're disappointed. So they needed to be rekindled. Right? Y'all ever heard the term revival? You know, revival means to make alive again. Revival happens to church members. Revival happens individually to church members. You can't be revived if you weren't vived to begin with, right? God gives us life, but sometimes we need a little rekindling, or sometimes we need a little bit of revival. You know, I think about in the 2 years that I've been here, let's think about some things. We went out on our first neighborhood walk 2 or 3 months ago. We're going to do it again as we invite people for VBS. But let me ask you this. Anybody that was walking, did you think ever once, why am I doing this? Did you hear that voice going, you know, it's not going to make any difference. Nobody's going to come. Some of you told me you did. Do you know who's telling who that voice is? That is the devil's voice. Sometimes the message that God has for His missionaries is not for the people they're going to. Sometimes the message God has for His missionaries is to the missionaries. It's to the people that are taking that gospel out there. This is what I want you to do. Man up, so to speak. This is how I want you to be. I want you to see my power again. I want to rekindle that power that you guys saw. You know, I hear stories of the trips you guys took to Alaska. Sounds like a great time. We can still do that today. We may not be in Alaska, but you can have such an impact here. But we need to be rekindled sometimes. We get tired. Anybody think I'm too old to work for God? Nobody's going to raise their hand, but I bet you somebody's thought that. I'm too old. I've got such a past that I can't be of any use to God. I mean, let's look at some of the history of people God used. God used drunkards, liars, murderers, cheaters, rebellious people. He's used them all when they've said, God, I'm willing to submit to you. Think about David. David had to confront his sin to be rekindled. And what did he say? He said, God, I have sinned and I've sinned only against you. He's talking about his sin with Bathsheba. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Key word there, not my salvation, your salvation. He wanted God to restore in him the joy that came with salvation. David needed rekindling. These two guys, they certainly needed rekindling. I mean, they're confused. They don't get it. All those things that Jesus taught them are not making sense. He said He was going to rise. We haven't seen Him. You know, the women said they seen Him. Now, the reason they didn't trust the women in that time in society, women were not regarded as competent witnesses. They couldn't testify in court. But they had to see Him for themselves. Unless you blame the women, what was Thomas's reaction? I won't believe it until I see it, right? until I actually touch it, right? So Thomas had to have proof. He had to have proof that Jesus had risen, and he got it. You know, and Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus doesn't condemn us when we are doubting. Jesus doesn't condemn us when we are questioning. Jesus does not condemn us when we're wondering, God, what are you doing? Anybody ever wonder that? Why am I going through this, Lord? Why am I having this problem? Why am I having this pain? Why are you letting my family experience this? Jesus doesn't condemn you. Jesus says, come and ask. Ask me why. You know, sometimes he tells us, sometimes he doesn't. But he says, pray and ask. If you lack wisdom, let him ask. So we need rekindling every once in a while. We need to always remember that Jesus can light that fire. Sometimes the more Christian, the longer we're Christian, the less enthusiastic we get. You ever heard the saying, there's none so righteous as the newly converted? People who are just fresh to Christianity, they are so excited. And literally, this is what happens. I mean, you can follow their path statistically. Excited, excited, excited. After about 2 years, starts going down. Doesn't even plateau. It starts going down. The excitement goes down. Why? Well, it gets kind of commonplace. You know, these guys walked with Jesus for 3 years, maybe. Less than 3 years, but around that time. Think of all the things that they saw. I mean, think about the fact that the disciples and the apostles particularly were so used to seeing Jesus do miracles, they took it for granted. They were so used to being able to do miracles themselves. One time they ran into some demons they could not cast out, and they couldn't understand why. Jesus said, oh, this is a particularly troublesome lot. It takes fasting. You have to treat them differently. But do you understand what they were saying? Hey, we're normally able to do this. Why can't we do it this time? They were so used to who Jesus was to them that they got used to it. We never need to be like that. We need to wake up every single day thinking about what Jesus is to us and being excited about what he is to us. You know, think about, you get in there, if you've got a gas stove, you turn that fire on, turn your flame on too. And it's not a feeling. You know, excited conjures the idea of being, of a feeling and an emotion. That's not what it is. Excited means to be empowered by, to be powered by. What are we going to be powered by when we are focused on Jesus Christ? We are going to be powered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to be powered by what God wants, and we are going to be powered by His will. Do you want to go through the day with that kind of power? Or do you just kind of want to go through the day, here we go again? You know, a lot of Christians are like that, and we need to fight that because that's not what the Bible tells us to be. The Bible says you are His ambassadors every single day. We are to let Him live through us. We can't live this Christian life on our own, which should make it really easy to let go because we can't do it. Either you let Him live through you or you are going to think that you are a failure at the Christian life. You're supposed to be a failure in your own power at the Christian life. And when you get to that point, say, God, I can't do it. He's like, you're right. Let me take over. And then you just step out of the way. You step out of the way and you listen to Him. But that's how He continues to walk with us, to deal with our problems, and to set our hearts on fire, to reignite us when we need reigniting. We need to understand we're going to get to that phase where we need reigniting. You're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. Things are going to happen to you. But what He's trying to tell us here and show us is that His Word, remember, what did He use to reignite their spirits? What did He use to light that fire? It was the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. If you are neglecting reading the Word of God, you are going to feel weak. You are going to feel powerless. You are going to feel like you are burning out. Those embers are low. you get into that word, it's like throwing gas on the fire, right? And that leads us to our final point. He is still the God who changes lives. We talked about this a lot last week with Easter, but just think again what he did. We've talked about what he did for Paul. We talked about what he did for Peter. We talked about what he's done for each and every one of us. But again, let's go back to our story today. He ran into these two guys. You think that was accidental? No. He ran into these two guys knowing that they were sad, knowing that they were discouraged, knowing that they needed to be reignited. And what did he do? He reignited them. He changed their lives. He took them from being sad. I mean, that's the word he used to describe them. Why are you sad? Why are you disappointed? They had this grandiose plan of them riding into the kingdom. They are going to be on the Messiah's side. They're going to be part of the kingdom. And boy, that fell apart on Friday afternoon, didn't it? Not really, but that's what they thought. But he reignited them. He showed them that he can still be the one who changes lives. And we think, you think sometimes that it's more complicated than that. The world likes to make it much more complicated. The world likes to make everything more complicated. Try going to McDonald's and ordering a Coke through one of those kiosk things. Anybody ever done that? Nobody? Good. But look, the world wants things to be complicated. God's answer is simple. The answer to the question is Jesus. What do? We look at the world through Jesus. We look at the world. We act according to what His Scripture says. We are told, that we are new creations in Christ. We need to believe that. Do you believe that about yourself? That you, when you became a Christian, you are and were a new creation in Christ. Either the Bible is true or it's not. And you can't say, well, that applies to every other Christian but not me. Because then the Bible's not true. Right? We can't say that. That's the ultimate prideful response. In reverse, but it's pride. We need to understand that the Bible says we are the new creation, and Jesus Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of that thing that He did, bringing God and man back together. We are the ones that have the ability now to go out and to present the gospel so that man and God can be reunited. And you know what? It's not any fancy words either. Paul said, look, I'm not preaching with man's fancy prose. I'm not making great intellectual arguments. I'm simply preaching Christ and Him crucified. That's it. It's a simple message, and it is a simple solution. And as we think about these two guys, understand that's a 2-mile walk, right? So, in those days, what? 30 minutes? Not very long. A 2-mile walk. And Jesus is talking to them. We don't know what He said, but we know the impact of what He said. So He just walked with them 30 minutes to an hour, stayed with them a little while. He ate with them. He didn't eat, but He broke the bread. He blessed it. And at that moment, boom, they realized who He was. Understand that Jesus does the same thing for us today. He will physically be with us. He is physically with us. This is not some kind of wish or dream that we have. The Holy Spirit is inside. Therefore, Jesus is walking with us. He's concerned about our problems. He is going to reignite us because that is His will. If you're still here and you're thinking, my usefulness is over, wrong. If your usefulness was over to God, you would be with God. He has a purpose for each and every one of us, whatever that may be. And He will reignite whatever doubt you have. He will reignite whatever questions, whatever doubt questioning, wondering, whatever words you want to use, he will take that and he will throw gas on it, the gas of his word, and he will make you alive again, revive you. You need to want him to do that. So if you're having that experience today, let's not let it go by. Pray to God today that he would be the same thing to you that he was to these disciples all those years ago. That he comes alongside of you and he shows you who he is. He changes your life again, puts you back on track. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, then hey, he is still the man who changes lives for the better. But you understand, these disciples were believers. They just had doubts. They had sadness. They had concerns. He did not come along and berate them because of their sadness. He didn't come along and make fun of them because they didn't really believe. He came along and lifted them up through his word. That's what we should do to our brothers and sisters. That's what we should do in this church, is lift people up using God's word. Use that word to light the spark again, to turn the burner on. Whatever analogy you want to leave here with, that's great. But we need something through God's word that gets us alive and excited again and gets us motivated to go out and do what these disciples did. They went and told. How could you keep that secret? If I were to say, hey, if I were to give you guys the cure to cancer today, everybody's going to run out and share it with people, right? God's word gives us the cure for ultimate death today. We need to think about that just as so much more valuable than even the cure for cancer, even the cure for COVID, whatever it may be. That needs to be our goal. We should run out and share that and be motivated, energized by God in doing so. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you again for the simple story. We looked at it at a really basic level this morning, but we know that you do walk with us, you talk with us, you teach us. You teach us through your word. You show us who you are, that you care about us, that you care about our concerns. And Lord, you use your word to renew in us the spirit of truth, to energize us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and we just thank you so much for that gift. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, that they would see you as the God who changes lives and come forward today. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, may we just never take you for granted. May we always understand that you still are there for us. You're listening, you're interceding, you're available, you're in control. No matter how things look in the world, you are still in control. And Father God, we place our lives at your disposal for you to be in control of them also. Re-energize us where we need it. Show us where we need to get that fire relit. Give us the opportunities to see you work and build our faith. And this we pray in your Son's name.